Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? This is your boy, Jay Will, your host of the Jay Will Podcast. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered a legal, health, tax, or professional advice of any kind. We are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast or podcast information. You can find the Jay Will Podcast on the podcast homepage on rss.com, Jay Will Podcast. To donate to the podcast, please find the donate feature on the homepage, or you may do so via Cash App, $ Jay Will Podcast. Follow my music page, James Williams Music on Facebook. This podcast is brought to you by Jay Will Music Production LLC and Chris Crane and Charlie's Music Factory. For more information, please don't hesitate to email me at leewillthelettersj@gmail.com. If you're a recording artist and would like to submit your music to the Jay Will Gospel Radio or the Jay Mill Gospel Show or the Unsigned Artist Gospel Show, please do so at Jay Will Music Production LLC @gmail.com. Or LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. All right, we're back again with Bishop Isaac Hamner. We had some real nice conversations the last time we were together, and we wanted to kind of continue that with talking about, we actually brought up the DRD4 gene the last time, and Bishop wanted to elaborate a little bit more on that. How are you tonight, Bishop?
I am well, Pastor. I am well. All is working well with me, the wife, and the family, and the ministry. Doing very well.
Yeah, that's
pretty
awesome.
And I am so thankful for all of those that provided positive feedback concerning the last broadcast, and it even inspired us to dig a little deeper, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to, you know, just invite everybody. When you see that link posted for the podcast, especially the ones with me and Bishop Hamner, go ahead and reshare those links. And so the more exposure we get to this dialogue, the more people we help. But we need your help to help us spread this word. And so when you see this link on my Facebook page or Bishop's Facebook page or his family's Facebook page, go ahead and share that link with people that you love and people that will find this pretty interesting. I want them to send it to people that they may not think is interesting. They may get converted. Listen to
agree.
It.
Agree.
Listen to
agree.
It. So the last time we were here, we talked about you cheater. We talked about people who were cheating, and that led us into talking about the DRD4 gene that people have. And so kind of touch on that just a little bit more before we dive deep into it.
Well, the last discussion was about a research paper on cheaters, and it was primarily conducted from an investigation group, private investigators. And in digging into that, we just wanted to understand why some people fell into Joseph's category of when he was presented with the opportunity to be in infidelity, fornication, or adultery, he chose not to. Whereas David, when he had a opportunity to participate, he chose to. And in my experience, I really believe that there is a gene that really navigated whether or not you do or don't, can or can't. And it was in that research that we found a research study that actually looked into a very specific chromosome on chromosome 3 that everyone has, which is the DRD4 gene.
Okay. So, I kind of did my own independent research on this gene, and I found that this is a gene known to regulate motivation, thrill-seeking, and is associated with ADHD and addictive risky behavior. And so I was thinking, well, we all have this gene, but some of it's more pronounced in other people than some people. You know what I'm saying? Because like some people don't want to ride roller coasters. Well, you have some that's all they're thrill seekers. They jump out of planes. They jump off of mountains with a parachute on. Like, I'm not doing that.
No, me either.
You know, I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good plane, you know, especially when you fly on a plane, they tell you, hey, talk about the flotation device, put your head between your legs, and we probably ain't going to make it no way. But I still don't want to jump out no perfectly good plane, you know, but those qualities, you know, I guess, should there be a healthy balance of this hormone that's, you know, that you have?
So when it comes to balancing, and also when it comes to thrill seeking or jumping out of planes, I'm going to wait for the second coming of Christ. and I'm going to wait to be caught up. They have a training when he comes back on how to fly and how to get up on out of that ground. So I'm going to wait for that class before I get out there and do it myself. But in respect to this particular gene, so what's unique about the DRD4 gene on chromosome 3 is that the study found out that we have what's called a 7 plus or 7 minus. And what's unique about the 7 plus or 7 minus is that if you have the 7 plus aspect of what you had already identified that we all have, then you're more likely to be promiscuous. And not only promiscuous, but that you're going to repeat. So it goes back to what you said about ADHD and the fact that you are a thrill seeker. So if you have the 7 plus repeat, then you're more likely to fall into the thrill seeking category, and you're more likely to have multiple partners. Now, it's the ones that had the 7 minus repeat that are less likely to indulge. And again, we all have the DRD4, but we all don't carry the 7 plus or the 7 minus. Now, if you want to know if you have it, you'd have to go through a genetic counselor. And a genetic counselor would be able to help you map out whether or not you have the 7 plus or the 7 minus. Now, if you do have the 7 plus, you're going to need to burn a candle on both ends, and we'll go deeper into it. But we're going to provide you with information from counselors who will be able to help you, because that was some of the feedback. One was, how do I know if I even have a 7 plus or a 7 minus? You discover that through genetic mapping. And that person is called a genetic counselor, and they would help you map that out. But you still are going to have to talk to a therapist as well to help bring this under control.
So, I want to make sure I phrase this question correctly. So we all have this. We all have the DRD4.
Correct.
But the 7 part of it. So I ran across one article that talked about 7R.
Yes.
And they called it the wanderlust. It's called the wanderlust. So, and they also associated with travel lovers. So will that be the same thing as saying somebody's promiscuous because they're a travel lover?
No, that is correct. So the 7R is simply 7 repeats. So the 7 plus is repeats. So 7s are repeats. So the 7R is simply repeat. So it's a 7 plus or 7 minus repeat. And the study, again, breaks down whether or not you will not. It's just an indicator of whether or not you would potentially have the propensity to want to. Joseph didn't want to. David wanted to. So we could slot Joseph in the 7 minus or the 7R minus, and we would slot David in the 7 plus. But there's two other hormones that we have to talk about in respect to the 7 plus or the 7 minus. And okay. those two hormones are going to be oxytocin or dopamine. So depending upon how oxytocin or dopamine plays into the equation of you coming across someone who is a potential partner other than the one assigned to you or you assigned to yourself, that's going to factor in. So in the first podcast that we did, we talked about the significance of identifying what your partner was. Did your partner embrace monogamy, or was your partner leaning towards polyfidelity? So to go back to that and to pull from that, someone who embraces monogamy probably has a 7 minus. And the person who embraces the polyfidelity probably is a 7 plus. So that genetic counselor is the one that's going to be able to help the individual who doesn't understand, why can't I stop? They want to, but they can't. And then when we factor in oxytocin and dopamine, oh man, those are game changers in the aspect of hormones traveling to you. And if you want to seek a thrill, oh man, oxytocin is not necessarily the thrill hormone, but dopamine, man, you get a shot of that and you will jump off a building.
Yeah, so let me go back, because I want to make sure that the people understand the difference between monogamy and polyfidelity.
Yes.
Monogamy is a relationship with one partner at a time. That's the way we are supposed to be. The Bible makes reference of the man having one wife, you know, cleaving to your, forsaking your mother and father and cleaving to your wife. And it wasn't plural. It was singular. So we're supposed to have one.
That's correct.
And polyfidelity is a relationship with multiple romantic partners, but sexual contact is restricted to some of them.
That is correct.
So if a guy has a harem, he's a polyfidelic.
That is correct.
So
he can have a harem, or he can have friends with benefits, is what the young people call them.
Yeah, I must be old. I don't think I ever heard of that one. Friends with benefits.
Oh, yeah, they got friends with benefits. So friends with benefits are individuals who have sexual relations specifically with people who they do not have a strong pair bond to. But they can call them up for a real quick booty call, and they both understand there ain't nothing to it. This is just primal urges, friends with benefits. We're friends. But you get the nookie nookie.
I'm tickled. I'm sorry. I didn't expect to hear you. hear you say nookie nookie. I
mean, nookie, man. That's the cookie. That's what the benefit is. The benefit is you get this cookie when you call. Oh, yeah. Don't have to pay no bills or nothing. That's
you
amazing.
Got me crying. You got me crying, Bishop. So, you know how dangerous that is
to have very.
all these partners and keeping up with all these different personalities. And, you know, on a spiritual level, I want to dive in here real quick. On a spiritual level, when you sleep with somebody, you are actually creating soul ties with these people.
That is correct.
And we wonder why, you know, I'm going to use John. If there's somebody named Johnny, I ain't talking about you, Johnny, but the going joke, not the Johnny, but the going joke when I was growing up was little Johnny was supposed to be a little nasty boy.
That's true.
And so there's no wonder little Johnny has all these personalities, mm-hmm. because little Johnny's been sleeping with everybody.
That's correct.
And all those soul ties are now linked with little Johnny.
That's correct. Agreed. So another term, hopefully, prayerfully, people will research this. Soul ties is what is used in the spiritual realm, in the church family. The other word that is used in more of an educational realm is going to be pair bonding. That's used in the medical field a lot, pair bonding. And pair bonding is something that often occurs with a mother and their child through breastfeeding. The hormone, go back to those hormones that we talked about in relation to monogamy, polyfidelity, oxytocin, dopamine, soul ties, and also pair bonding. So when you pair bond with someone, there is a hormone secretion of oxytocin. And that oxytocin actually links you, not necessarily in a sexual way. So dopamine handles the sexual aspect of the hormone. Oxytocin handles the bonding aspect, so the pair bonding or the soul ties. So when this secretion takes place, then there is an attachment. So those who have the 7+ instead of the 7-, they might get caught up in a thrill-seeking rush of dopamine, and they might receive a cocktail of a hormone cocktail of oxytocin and dopamine, which they think this one night stand is love, but it's not. It's actually lust from the dopamine. But what drew your attention was the fact that you were a 7+ repeater, which is why I cannot stop. Your body just created a hormone cocktail of oxytocin that's used to pair bond or to create soul ties, along with the sex drive thrill, which is dopamine. That cocktail together mixed with alcohol is a recipe for a very powerful church service of repentance.
Yeah. So in other words, people that have a wide variety of sexual encounters, you know, where they just can't be in a monogamous relationship with somebody, probably should be tested to make sure that they, you know, that they don't need to go into some type of treatment program to stop with all this fooling around.
So I am in an amen agreement. And that's why, to me, information like this is important, as you said before, when it comes to sharing. A lot of people are unaware that they have a 7+ repeater, and it takes a genetic counselor to help map that out. And then it takes professional counselors to help deal with what happens when your body produces oxytocin to pair bond and dopamine to seek a thrill. And this is why so many people who live in a polyfidelity life, this is why they never can find satisfaction, because the oxytocin is trying to pair bond, which is make it lasting. But the dopamine is just trying to get the rush. So you get the rush, but your mind still wants something greater. But afterwards, all you actually feel is cheated, because you don't get anything once the dopamine has stopped flooding your system. And the oxytocin that was needed to pair bond did not cement anything. All you got, again, at the end of it is guilt. And you can't stop because it's hormonal. It doesn't mean that the Almighty created you and didn't understand. It doesn't mean that you are a hopeless person. It doesn't mean that you can't love, or you can't learn how to love, or you can't learn how to be a single person. It does mean you need to take a deeper dive into why so many relations start off hot but end up cold, and none of them are lasting. But you do know you got a drive to want to go get and go get and go get. And again, it is that hormone cocktail that is being delivered to you because you were looking for a thrill. And it did not work for you.
So do you believe that a person can, like, overcome this disposition on their own?
No, I don't believe anybody. And I'm going to even stand up on a limb and say, and again, I gave you, you know, pretty good examples. The last time we talked about David, David said, take not the Holy Spirit away from me. So it was pretty clear that he had it. Solomon, he's the wisest man in the world. We don't want to leave him out of this conversation. So you can't be wiser than Solomon. And then one that we did not mention on our last podcast, but we'll bring his name in now, letting you know that he had this hormone cocktail, oxytocin and dopamine, and that's Samson. So you got the first man that was tripped up by a woman, oxytocin and dopamine. You have the strongest man, Samson, and the wisest man. So you're going to need help. If they could not handle it by themselves, you're going to need to find out what Joseph had so that you can help it. So we know Joseph made it through, and we know Christ made it through, because Christ was tempted in all manners, but he was yet without sin. And I don't believe we got to go the route of Paul. I believe in Paul. I know Paul was called by God, but I do not share Paul's vision of being a eunuch. No, I don't want to control dopamine and oxytocin to the point where I don't want nothing. I want something. I just want it in the confines of what you stated earlier, which is marriage. So Paul, I think he's the far end of that spectrum. I don't want nothing Paul selling. I don't believe in that. I don't want to just not like nothing. I don't want that. But I don't want what caused Solomon to err and to offer sacrifices to idol gods in the grove. I don't want what Samson had that caused him to give his secret to a woman. And if you really look at Samson and you look at how Delilah was able to coerce him, his mom asked him, said, Samson, is there no women in Israel? He said, Mom, she satisfies me. Wow, bro. She was putting it on him. She was putting that dopamine and that that cocktail that Delilah was putting on. She said, man, she pleases me. So when that's a very powerful hormone. Samson was a very strong man. But even in all that strength, he could not fight that hormone cocktail of oxytocin and dopamine. And Delilah was able to be successful in gathering his secrets from him that he knew he was not supposed to share. So I want everyone to know, and I'm not telling that the Holy Spirit isn't powerful enough. I've already cited spiritual examples. And if you believe you are more powerful than them, so be it. If you believe your faith is greater, so be it. But for the rest of us, we need that benefit in a multitude of counselors. The scriptures are clear concerning the multitude of counselors. And that's why we are recommending genetic mapping from a genetic counselor. And we're also recommending that you seek help from a professional therapist. And we're going to provide you with those names and a link. And these are just vetted counselors from a master's in therapy and psychology, Bishop David Brand Jr. And he provided us these recommendations and he vetted them and he spoke with them and they will actually help you with this issue. And then the genetic counsel that we talked about, they will help you identify what's actually in you so that you can potentially stop. So why can't I stop? You can't stop because you're receiving a hormone cocktail that is more powerful than what you are giving it credit for. But we are here to try to help those who want to receive help.
You know, it's very interesting because it seems like the more one would engage in that type of behavior, the less remorseful they become and the more they thrill seek to get that same euphoric feeling that the dopamine releases in your system to begin with. I mean, we all experience dopamine releases at different points in our life. Like your kid scores a touchdown, you get excited. That's dopamine. You know, you see a good boxing match or a good basketball game. Dopamine. It's dopamine. But I mean, I think it goes overboard when you look for that same high all the time and what you're experiencing is not enough. So you keep digging and you keep going and you keep going. And before you know it, you end up in this whirlwind of a cycle. And it could be more difficult to get out of it once you've got in so deep.
Well, it goes back to what you said earlier about the ADHD. So the 7+ on chromosome 3, it's a repeater. So the studies show that those who had the 7+ were less likely to stop and more likely to repeat because of the addictive nature of the hormone cocktail of oxytocin and dopamine. So the one that has the dopamine that is just cheering at the game is totally different than cheering at the game looking at the cheerleaders. Okay, so if you're cheering at the game and looking at the cheerleaders, that's oxytocin and dopamine, which is going to confuse you because you're going to want to soul tie with them, potentially pair bond with them. But again, at the end of that, the book of Proverbs says that you will have gravel in your mouth. And that's the depression that comes after the dopamine rush. Yeah, and I agree with you, your assessment, which is that you feel so empty afterwards. And you're empty literally because you no longer have that rush of hormone.
Wow.
So you're not only empty naturally, you are empty hormonally, and you feel spent. The help comes with identifying what is bigger than you, why I can't stop. And the reason why you can't stop, it isn't because the Almighty don't love you, and it isn't because you don't have the ability to stop. Oftentimes, if you do not have the right tools in your life, you will not be successful. Duct tape and putty and caulking only go so far. You can only do so much with duct tape. You can only do so much with caulking. You can only do so much with putty. Eventually, you got to replace some things and fix it right.
Okay, I started laughing because I didn't know where he was going with the duct tape and putty.
Oh, you know duct tape because you like the rest of us men. We lazy and we just rip. We go to wrapping them pipes.
Yeah, I thought you was going somewhere else totally different with the
oh, duct tape. No, I don't need dopamine. I've been dipped in the blood. I can't. I got too much to lose. I got too much to lose. No, I got assets, so I can't have nobody come get nothing for free. I work too hard for my stuff.
Right, nobody
tricked me up in no Kevin Hart video talking about I'm sorry. These women, like, they got him a little. No, I got too many assets. And, no, I tell them no. No, thank you.
Let me ask a question. All of us have addictive personalities and qualities to a degree.
Yes.
I mean, that's why we're attracted to certain things. That's why we like certain foods.
Correct.
Because it's a healthy, you know, attraction. It's a healthy, I don't want to use the word addiction, but it's a healthy like.
No, but you're a 7- repeater. So you're a 7R-. So the 7-, they don't have the propensity to be as addicted to the hormone cocktail. They are significantly more balanced. Not that they won't slip, just simply less likely. So the scriptures talks about temperance and the significance of temperance. So those with the 7- often walk in that temperance in their life, and they are able to gain control over hormones. Now, if you know anyone who suffers from anxiety, and I'm not making light of anxiety because it is real, but those are hormonal rushes. And if you suffer from anxiety, it is real. And oftentimes the only way to regulate it is through medication. And I'm not suggesting that there is medication that can help you not practice infidelity. I'm not suggesting that at all. Just give you an example that when it comes to hormones, it is something that you really need to take seriously, but you got to identify what it is. And like you said, some people are able to gain control over various aspects of their lives, but then there are other people who cannot gain that control. What we want to provide you with is a roadmap on if you are in situations where you feel like you can't cheat, you feel like you can't stop cheating, you feel like that there is no way out, or you feel like people can't hear or people can't understand you. Hopefully, prayerfully, this podcast is going to put you on the road so that you can start identifying. It has nothing to do with you. It's not that you don't have a desire to want to stop. It's not that you don't pray or that the Almighty doesn't hear you. None of those are at the core of why you do what you do. A lot of this is really evolutional. And if you don't mind, I want to bring out another point quickly concerning something called a swift fox, which is an animal that lives in our society. And I found something very unique about this swift fox and a study about the swift fox. So the swift fox would pair bond. It would pair bond with his mate. But in order to keep the genetics and the diversity of the species, they would actually allow themselves to have other partners. So even though through oxytocin, they pair bonded with an animal, just to keep the diversity of the genetics, they went and found other partners. And that the goal there, again, was to keep the genetics in the offspring. And I'm letting you know today, similarly as the swift foxes, there are certain men who, not understanding that they are 7+ repeaters, their bodies might potentially could be simply like the swift fox, trying to ensure the genetics of the offspring are consistent, which is why I know, and I'm going to step out on a leap on a limb here and say, you know, of a lot of men, plural, who got a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And so, and they don't even know that their bodies, based on this 7+ repeat, based on oxytocin, based on dopamine, and we've always been taught to look down on these individuals who have multiple kids through multiple partners. And I don't know that, and prayerfully now, more studies will be done to align what happens in humanity with these swift foxes. Some of these men, and I'm not saying they knew this, but their genetics did, based on this 7+ repeat, could be out there trying to keep the diversity of the genetics of the species and their offspring pure, so that in an effort to prevent disease, they just out there wilding out, not understanding that it can be brought under subjection, it can be brought under control, but they could potentially be just keep trying to keep the diversity of the offspring pure, just like this swift fox, which is, to me, aligns with some men who in their heart want to practice monogamy, but, and I think you know maybe one or two, I know one or two married men who've had a child with someone else, even though they were married, and not even understanding that the issue lied within a hormone that was on their chromosome in an effort to keep the diversity of the offspring going. And this poor man done wrecked his wife's life and now the life of the new young lady and brought a new child into the world, not understanding that behind the scenes in his body, all this was going on. And I'm saying that when you get married, if you identify you got this 7+ repeater and that you are more susceptible to a hormone cocktail of oxytocin and dopamine, tying into that a willingness of your DNA to want to keep the offspring pure, come on, man, that's a recipe, again, to keep counselors in business. But if we can identify it early, scripture says, without a plan, my people perish. So if you can identify it early, you might be able to save a marriage, save a person, save an offspring, and save a family. But so, these are conversations that we need to start having.
I just want to add in there, it's not just inclusive to just men doing this.
That's a very good point. It's a good point.
I think it's a co-ed thing that's going on. And I won't even jump into the dynamics of what some societal ideologies think that it's okay for the man to do, but bad for the woman. It's bad on both sides.
That's true.
You know, because I mean, I've heard people say, oh, man, a man just going to be a man. Like, come on, bro. That's, how does that even make sense? When we dog the woman out, we ready to stone her and we ostracize her. But he's doing the same thing. And it's more acceptable for a man to be, you know, more promiscuous than it is a woman. But it happens on both ends. So men and women can both possess the 7+ and be the same way.
So that's why when I was growing up, we called them nymphs. Women who wanted to be very promiscuous and didn't care. Open up her legs. Some were dealing with the 7+, and then some were actually dealing with molestation, not knowing how to deal with it. But when you got this 7+ and you're a female, I agree. You are just as susceptible to desire men and desire relationships. So let's talk about that 7+ woman who might have this repeat, who would need to get this diagnosed properly through genetic counseling, and then would need professional therapy to help reel some of this in. And on top of that, the gift of the Holy Spirit to keep it all in line and intact like a girdle. So that's what the Holy Spirit going to do. It's going to be like a girdle. You're going to keep it all in from jiggling and going out of control. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Comes in to keep everything in control, nice and tight. So this woman that is out there, she doesn't even understand that it is deeper and bigger than her. So she's not only dealing with oxytocin and dopamine, she has a whole nother cocktail of hormones jumping off in her, from daddy issues to figure issues to look issues to social issues to wanting to belong, wanting to contribute to society. And sometimes women believe all they have to contribute to a relationship is personal pleasure. And if you're dealing with the 7+ repeat and it's on that chromosome and you are a female and you believe that this is your contribution and this is the only way that people will find you appealing, this is the only way that people will talk to you, this is the only way to make your life relevant, I'm letting you know that that's just not the case. And I know I'm not in your life. I can't be your friend. I can't talk to you. I cannot encourage you. I'm just letting you know that this is a hormone that can be identified, isolated, controlled, you gain control over your life and no longer allow hormones to control your current. That is going to establish your future. And then when you're in your future, then you're now dealing with your past. If you identify it now as a woman, you can save yourself unnecessary relationships, unnecessary pair bonding. Pair bonding is real. Soul ties are real. And they are hormonal in nature. And they can be managed and controlled once you identify what's going on and you're willing to do the work to get yourself regulated so that you can live a normal life. But if you are a female and, you know, in I can only speak in the community ecotype that I deal with, there are issues with being light-skinned or dark-skinned. And a female wants to, you know, if she can be accepted, some are light-skinned, some are dark-skinned. Spike Lee made a great movie about that, Darkies and Lighties. It was a great movie. Check it out. Spike Lee, I loved it. You're dealing with shape issues, some are round, some are not, some are voluptuous, some are not. You have all of this working, and you're using your body to try to gain an advantage, or you're using your body to gain access to friends. And it could just be the 7+ repeat. And if you identify it early enough, then through counseling, they can help you let you know that the satisfaction that you think you're going to receive when you lie with them, it's going to be fleeting because it's a hormone release. It is a cocktail. And that's how they're going to get the help they need that's going to be lasting so that they don't create all of these terrible memories. There's a lot of memories that have been created, and they are not pleasant at all. And I'm saying, if you start identifying it, the sooner you identify it, the sooner you can stop making bad choices, entering into bad relationships on bad pretenses. So I agree. It's not just men.
It's women as well. Yes, sir. So I want to jump into, we talked about briefly Romans chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this, you know, Paul's teaching in Romans. And so how do you coordinate biblical teaching to work with the person that's trying to find deliverance in their life regarding overcoming this disposition gene-wise?
So Paul, in the 7 chapters of Romans, I believe he identified the DRD4 gene. And I think he identified the 7+ repeat that occurs, which is why some people can't stop. And we're not just talking about sex. Let's not just leave it to sex. The 7+ also impacts your ability to want to gamble. It impacts your ability to want to consume alcohol. It impacts your ability to want to seek thrills and take chances in life. So maybe it's not sex. That's not your issue. But maybe your issue is gambling. Those with the 7+ repeat are more likely to have trouble with anything receiving a dopamine release and a high that you get from it, and then going back to it. So Paul identified this in Romans 7 chapter. He didn't have the genetics. He didn't have the information, the scholarly studies that we have today, but he identified it. And he wrote it like this. He said, for, again, it's Romans 17 chapter.
Chapter 7.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Or for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul is caught in that same hormone cocktail that a lot of people are caught in. Paul said what he want to do, he can't. But what he don't want to do, he finds himself not only gravitating towards it, but to a degree enjoying it. That's that 7+ repeat.
Yeah.
He knows there is nothing good that dwells in him. And that's true, because that's that 7+ repeat. And he knows that he is sold under sin because of the fall all the way from Adam. He said he finds goodness in the law, but he also said he found that evil was always present. Evil was always present is referring to the temptation to want to do, to want to chase that high. He concluded that he delighted in the inward law of God. He concluded that he was a wretched man. He concluded that he needed to be delivered from death. But he thanked God that in his mind, he served the law of God. But in his flesh, he served the law of sin. So when he wanted to stop and he couldn't, then he went back to the blood of Christ, and he went boldly before the throne of grace in his time of need, and he asked for mercy. And I'm letting those who might be caught in a similar situation of repeat, let's not isolate it to sex. Let's say it's gambling.
Yeah.
And you want to stop, but you got this 7+ repeat. You're going to need help. And the help that you're going to need is going to come from a genetic counseling. It's going to come from a therapist. It's going to come from your pastor. It's going to come from your ego type, your support group, all banding around you to help you. But it starts with you identifying that it lies in you. Paul in Romans 7 identified that it was in him, but that he fought it. You too, whatever it is, you're going to have to fight. Whatever your addiction is, you're going to have to fight. So it's best. The key is not to eat the fruit.
Right, right. I want to go up a little bit farther. Romans chapter 7. Verse number 9, it says, "For I was alive without the law once."
Yes.
"But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." It's not talking about a physical death here. It's talking about spiritual death. And verse number 10, "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." You know, he was dealing with some serious stuff that he found out about himself. And he could not change himself.
Correct.
The Spirit had to work on him. And so I just want to say to people, you know, if you get cleaned up and you happen to backslide, is what we used to call it back in the day, don't stay back there.
Correct.
Call on God again. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So to your specific greater point of the scripture says, any man that puts his hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Scripture says you don't want to be like a dog returning to his own vomit. Scripture says that Christ gave the example of an unclean spirit being cast out and he left. But the unclean spirit came back and saw that there was nothing in its place. And then the scripture says, when he came back, he ain't come back by himself. He came back with 7 more partners because nothing was filled. To your greater point, once you identify that there is something wrong, you better hurry up and fill it with something positive.
Yeah.
So that when those unclean spirits come back, they're not coming back by themselves. They're coming back with 7 more. And that 7 more that the scripture says, that's a 7+ repeat. So Colossians 2:21 says, touch not, taste not, and handle not. And to me, that's the approach we take. Touch not, taste not, handle not. People use this phrase. I don't use it and I don't believe it. You don't know until you try it. That's not true. I don't have to try it. And I do know it because I can see the people who tried it and they standing out on the street and it's below zero holding the sign saying we'll work for food. So, yes, I don't want to try it. I don't want any part of what's going on with comes with addiction. I don't want to deal with standing in front of my kids, explaining to them why or how I fail. I don't want to explain to my employer why I got drunk, lost my license, or killed somebody. Touch not, taste not, handle not. There is a great war that is out there. And once the Almighty delivers you from it, it is imperative that you abide in the vine. The scripture says that if you abide in the vine, you will bring forth fruit, but you have to abide in the vine. Now, the vine is going to not necessarily be a physical building. It's going to be your ecotype. I'm a building man. I'm a temple man. I always go to the temple, but I know other people have a different way of how they worship. I want you to know that whenever you find something that works, that keeps you out of that addicted state, you need to keep doing that and repeating that. Because you got the seven repeat anyway. You already are thrill seeking. Just seek thrill doing right. Just flip the script on your own hormones and learn how that once you get out, stay out and abide in that vine. So whatever it was that was successful, you got to continue to repeat that. And you have the ability because you got the seven repeat anyway. You got the plus. And that's what you got to do. But my heart go out to everyone. And I don't say my heart go out from a condescending perspective.
Right.
Not at all. My heart go out to you because I know that there's information out there for you. And I know that there's people out there for you. But my heart go out to the world because they're not gravitating towards help. And these algorithms are not sending you towards help. Algorithms are sending you towards trouble. They're sending you towards the train wreck. They're sending you towards calamity. Anything that's going to get you out of an addictive state, these algorithms are actually burying them. So my heart goes out to them, not in a condescending manner. My heart goes out because I know there is help, but it's going to be hard to find it because of how society works. The most outrageous thing is the things that are going to get noticed. And I am not willing to come out of my character. I'm not willing to be outrageous. All I want to do is provide the information and prayerfully, if it's beneficial to you, help you. And as we said in the beginning, we are not going to be held liable for anything that hurts you. And we're not liable for anything that blesses you. We're just here to give you the information, but prayerfully, something to be said that'll help you.
Yes, sir. You know, I want to jump back to this scripture. Now, I've always had an issue with this scripture. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Because he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Mm-hmm. I've always taken issue with that because you can help me with this because there are some things in the flesh that's good if it's in the right perspective. If it's in the right perspective, the relationship I have with my wife, that's a fleshly thing, but it's in the right perspective. It's done in order according to the will of God. So help me understand exactly what Paul means here. Let's dive into that a little bit because, I mean, it all kind of ties in together with the DRD4. So explain that to me.
No, it definitely ties in. So to your greater point, the relationship between you and your wife, that is good. In Genesis, the first chapter, the Almighty created the heavens and the earth. And in the end, what did he say at the end of the first day?
It's good.
It is good. When you go to the second day, Almighty created, he said, it is good.
Right.
So to your point, greater point, all that the Almighty created is good. But all that the Almighty created is not going to be eternal. So when it comes to the flesh, the relationship between you and your wife is good on earth. But when Paul is saying, there is no good thing that dwelleth in my flesh, Paul is saying, this does not transfer to the kingdom, and it does not scale to the kingdom. Because the scriptures teaches us that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So when Paul is referring to in Romans 7 and 18, that dwelleth no good thing in my flesh, Paul is speaking on the ability of the flesh to be able to scale to the kingdom of God or transfer to the kingdom of God. So even marriage is good. And Paul concluded that the law is good, holy and just, if a man use it lawfully. So marriage is good for earth. But Christ taught us, and we're talking about scaling to the kingdom and transferring to the kingdom. But Christ taught us they are neither married nor given in marriage in the kingdom. So Paul is simply referring to in earthly, there in a kingdom realm, this earthly marriage is not going, there's no good thing scalable to the kingdom. That's what Paul is referring to, because you're right. You are good. Scriptures told man to be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's in the flesh. And right. When you do that in the confines of marriage, Almighty says that's good. But that good is not going to scale to the kingdom, and it ain't going to transfer, because there's no marriage, no giving in marriage. There's no families being born in flesh and blood, which Paul said, no good thing dwelt in my flesh, cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you helped me out with that. You know, I've heard different people with various opinions on, you know, they say there ain't no good thing in the flesh. Hey man, I like pizza. Yeah. Pizza's good. I like Diet Dr. Pepper. That's a flesh thing.
That's a flesh thing. That's a flesh thing. But that is good. But so to another point, and to your greater point, scripture says, because you pointed out specifically husband and wife. Scripture says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and favor with the Lord. To identify that what you and your wife have, that is still oxytocin, but you got a real pair bonding going on. Every now and again, you ask for dopamine. That's the sex one. All right. So
that ain't every now and again for me. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, that's the dopamine. So dopamine is controlling that. So that good thing that the Almighty created for you, you are calling it good. And Solomon said, enjoy the wife of your youth. So everything you are saying is still accurate in your greater point. It is good. Paul, though, he's transferring it to the kingdom. It ain't going, none of that. None of what we're doing down here is getting us to the kingdom. All of it prepares us for the kingdom because it's all by faith. But marriage, not going to the kingdom. Children, not going to the kingdom. And flesh and blood, it ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God. But on earth, it's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, this is a great topic. I mean, we can go on and on for hours about this. I mean, I just think it's a whole lot to unpack. I mean, yes. when you look at people's addictive personality, being addicted to the wrong thing can really mess you up. You could turn into a sociopathic person.
No, that is correct. That is correct. Well, David said he was actually addicted to the Lord. Yeah. David was addicted to the Lord. He said, one thing have I desire, and that will my soul seek after. And that's to dwell in the house of the Lord. So
forever.
Forever. I like that part. So that seven plus, there is nothing wrong with shifting what you are addicted to. So some people get a dopamine rush when come Monday, you got Ohio State and you have Notre Dame, two very known colleges. Some people get a dopamine rush right before kickoff. David got a dopamine rush when he said, I was glad when they said it. They didn't even go. Just say it. That was David's dopamine rush. And there are people today that get a dopamine rush when they say, let's go to the house of the Lord. And when they get there, they say, let everything that have breath. And they are addicted to let everything that have breath, praise the Lord. And they raise their voices in a shout. So people think that people who go to church or go to temple are crazy. No, they are getting fed dopamine every time they walk into that temple, and they get a rush from the praise. They get a rush from the music. They get a rush from the fellowship. So I'm saying that those who are in the world with that 7+ repeat, some of them who come out of the world and into the church, that's why they are more dedicated than the people who were born in the church, because they are going to overdo it and they are going to stick with it. And they know how to do it over and over and over again. And that's why Christ said, those who have been forgiven of much sins love more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why. They went through more. They are forgiven of more. They have a greater appreciation of it. And they know they're going to get that rush that they got in the world. They know they're going to get that rush when they go to the temple. That's why it's so imperative for all of us to take the prostitution out of Christ.
Man.
Take the prostitution out of the Holy Spirit. Take the prostitution out of worship. Stop trying to control these people. All of that is a part of this 7+ repeat. Why I can't stop. These mega charlatans have just ruined it for us who are at grassroots, just trying to help people navigate through life, because they're looking at that grandeur, but that has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. But they're getting that dopamine rush. And as you said before, they've tied themselves just like a mother suckling a child. These innocent people have suckled themselves, no offense to anyone, but false is false, to a great whore. And they are drinking of her wine, and it's just so unfortunate. But I'm letting those people out there know who want help, there's help for you. You are not in it by yourself. The Almighty created this information to help his children. And he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Almighty loves us all. He loves the addicted, and he loves the one who serve him. He loves you the same. And he provides both of you, those who are addicted and those who are not, with a way of escape. So if you're addicted to anything, he provided a way of escape for you. If you are not addicted, he provides a way for you to remain. So he's got a way of escape, and he's got a way to remain. We are the ones that have to just explain to people why it is so important to go deeper than why I can't stop. I tried. No, it's a little deeper than that. And I think the part that's fascinating is that Swift Fox, the fact that people are out there trying to diversify the offspring and they don't know it. And I just prayerfully, hopefully, my prayer is that the Almighty allow this information to go out so people will understand that they're not terrible humans, and that the Almighty has not forsaken them. Your body is genetically just trying to diversify the offspring. And the scriptures taught us every man and every woman needs to know how to control their vessel in the sanctity and honor in which they was called. So even though the Almighty put the 7+ in you, even though you're out there trying to diversify the offspring, the Almighty still says, wait a minute, wait a minute. That don't have to be you, because I've given you something called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the indwelling, the one that will resurrect you in the end time, whatever you want to call it, the free gift, the comforter, whatever you want to call it. I've given you something that will help you in your time of need. And I created a son who died so that you can gain control over what the Almighty knows he's placed in you, so that we all can be without an excuse. But I don't want to paint someone terrible because they had so many kids out there. They're just trying to diversify their offspring. But the Almighty said to his children, I don't want that for you.
Right, right. And I just want to add, you know, the Holy Spirit is given to us. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. It means it's along one side.
Correct.
And so I have not only the Spirit of God in me, I have the Spirit of God that's walking alongside of me.
Correct.
To help guide and to lead me into all truth.
Correct.
And so you're not in this by yourself.
That's all right.
And I invite, you know, anybody that's listening to this that may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, just ask for forgiveness. If you believe that he died for the propitiation of your sins, he died for you, his blood can cover you, just ask for forgiveness. And God will depart that paraclete to walk along your side so that you won't have to walk this thing alone. And he will lead and he will guide you to the places that you need to be at to find true and total deliverance in your life. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to be governed by this DRD4-7R gene that we all have. That's something that can move within you to help move that to the side, so you can put all this stuff in a relative holy perspective in your life, you know, so we can be overcomers through our testimony in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Enjoying this life. This life is beautiful. I'm not a person who bashes America or bashes the system. We work within the system that the good Lord gave us. Jacob, he had a father-in-law, and the father-in-law tried to take advantage of him. You need to read that account, if you haven't, to see who won that. So just because somebody tried to take advantage of you, don't mean they're going to be successful. But right. In the end, Jacob came out on top.
Yeah.
I just believe that, you know, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through hard work, research, study, counseling, information, we can make it. We really can make it together.
So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you read the description. Some references are going to be in the description, and there's going to be some great, great people who work in counseling that has dealt with this particular subject, that you'll be able to call, schedule some virtual appointments. Maybe you're in the city where these people are from. You can schedule some in-house appointments, you know, in-office appointments to make sure that you're squared away. Bishop Hamner is always available, and his email address will be there. And my email address will be on there as well. So if you need somebody to talk to, email us, email one of these counselors, set up an appointment, and there's the prayer line is always open.
Always.
You know, we can pray for you. And Bishop, I appreciate this conversation again.
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it. In the next one, we're going to talk about these wildfires, and we want to talk about how the book of Revelations is going to play out. And there's so much information out there that I want to share with current believers on how to live today and prepare for tomorrow. But concerning prayer and what you were talking about, concerning that the need of prayer, and that I'm available, you're available. I have a friend who actually writes books, and she teaches you literally. And so many people don't know how, and that's why what Messiah did in the book of Matthew was so important, teaching us how to pray. She wrote a book on how to learn how to communicate with the Almighty, and it's a book on prayers. And she has a website, was it suninhereyes.com, suninhereyes.com. It's one of those books that will help you through very difficult and traumatic times in your life. This is the second book that the Almighty has allowed her to offer. And she is just, her books help. And people who need help with prayer, learning how to pray, learning when to pray. Now, you can't pray for everything. Sometimes you got to take action.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what I like about her book. Everything ain't prayer. Something, you got to do something. Lord, have mercy, get up. Lord, give me the strength to get up. How about you turn your hips? You sit up your torso. You put your feet on the floor. That ain't prayer. You got to get up. So right. He teaches you that aspect of life along with your walk in Christ. So prayer is important, but you got to mingle it with faith, and you got to mingle it with action, because faith without works is still and will always be dead.
Dead. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your boy, Jay Will. Don't forget to tune in to Jay Will Gospel Radio, live365.com. Got great music for you 24/7. Don't forget to check out Bishop's Church. It's getting ready to scroll down the bottom of the screen. Truth Ministries, 30 Kentucky Avenue, Wilmington, Ohio, 55177. Go ahead and check out their Facebook page, Truth Ministries on Facebook, and I guarantee you're going to be blessed. If you've been blessed by this conversation, don't forget to donate to the podcast. You can do so via Cash App at JWO Podcast, or find the donate feature on the RSS.com homepage, and we'll take donations. Anything is welcome, and I'm sure Bishop will take donations for him and his church as well. You can, if you want to mail him a check, go ahead and mail him a check. Make sure the check ain't rubber, though. Make sure it's got some paperweight on it, man. We don't send no rubber checks, man. It costs a lot more to take care of them rubber checks than it do just, you know, send the money anyway. But all right, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you peace.